please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
With that Texas, never better get checked. There ain't no difference second when the king goes sick. For the gal and a chick, fuck around and get wet.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, coming to you from Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, listen, I am so glad, you know it's normal to always be here. I'm all hyped up about being a part of this show and meeting you all each and every day. I know there's some times when things don't work out and I don't get to you, but know that you are always on my mind. It is so important for me to have the opportunity to just reach out and talk to you about the different things that are going on. And sometimes I know what I want to talk about long before the time comes. And then there are times when I don't know until the very second the show goes on. And I do have a topic for today, and I hope the ladies are prepared to talk about it, because I think this is a real important topic. You know, we have 50% of the marriages don't work. And so you have single people who are getting old enough to think about marriage. And then you have middle-aged people who are getting divorced, who want to remarry. And so we're always dealing with, you know, being believers and how we have to deal with the reality of dating and how we deal with the reality of being involved in relationships that are between a man and a woman. And so today I just want to talk about the kind of intricate things that men and women deal with when they are trying to get in a connection, and how do they bring their religious beliefs into that, and how do they bring reality into it. You know, a lot of times people want to live their lives by the biblical rules that have been set by our Creator. But the reality is, when they get into these connections and they get into these close proximities of each other, they find themselves prey to their physical desires and to, sometimes, to be honest, to their lust. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is it do we do to perfect ourselves from these situations if we want to live our lives in the biblical fashion? And also, I want to ask, you know, how long do you wait for a person to make a decision related to being in love or being committed to a relationship and taking it to the next level? If you are someone who truly wants to be married, how long does it take to make that kind of decision? And so we need to just ask ourselves some basic questions about how to live a Christian-like life in a human environment. And what are the difficulties in that? And how do you go about getting back under the umbrella of God's protection? And how long should you wait for a mate to decide that they want to go to the next level with you? And so we want to just take some time to just talk about relationships today and how do we delve into the meaningful value of making our relationships mean what they're supposed to mean in terms of God's biblical laws. How you doing today, Kathy?
I'm doing good, Mr. Duce. How are you?
All right. And Joyce, are you there? Joyce, do I have you on today? 7265, are you there? Give me your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Joyce. I'm here today. Thank you. I had to get back to the phone.
Hi, Joyce. I wanted to make you proud of me, Joyce, that I finally had gotten to the point where I had recognized your number, and then you didn't come back immediately, so I was scared. Oh, my Lord, did I get it wrong? But I am so happy that you're here with us today.
Well, thank you. I try to do multitasking because now where I'm at, almost 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so I try to do two things at one time, especially since it's almost time for dinner in my household.
Okay. Well, Joyce, I have the right now we have two married individuals, you and Kathy, on the line, and maybe that's good because the topic today is, you know, we have a lot of older people who find themselves back in the dating game, and we have a lot of young people who find themselves in the dating game. And so today I just wanted to discuss, you know, in relationships when men and women decide that they're going to date each other seriously, how long should a man or woman, how much time should a man or woman take to make a decision that they're going to take it to the next level? And how do they avoid the physical contact, the physical desires that are, if they want to lead a life in a Christ-like or a believer's manner. And, you know, just get some real talking about, you know, knowing that people are human, but we all are, those of us who are believers, want to live our lives in a certain fashion. And so I just want us to talk about how do we deal with the interaction between men and women, and how do we deal with dating in this kind of environment when we want to live a Christ-like life. Kathy, I'll let you start.
Okay. Well, you know, thinking about what you were saying, you really can't put a timeline on something like that, and it depends on the two individuals that are actually in the dating relationship, because it could be that, hey, they just met, there is a connection. They're at the maturity in their mind and in their lives that, hey, they're ready to go to the next level. Or it could be that they just want to date to see how this thing works. So, I mean, you really can't say, okay, you need to wait a year or you need to wait 2 years or you need to wait a month. You can't put a timeline on it because it depends on the actual individuals who are in the dating relationship. That's what I believe.
But don't you think there's some difficulty in waiting if you want to live your life in a Christ-like manner? I mean, when people are in proximity to each other, what about the possibility they may fall prey to their physical desires?
Well, I mean, again, it depends on that individual person, because if you put in your mind and say, hey, I'm going to stay celibate until I get married or until that day comes, then I mean, it depends on, the individual, because there are some people that are sticking to what they say, but then there are those that sometimes slip and then go back and say, hey, you know, we can't do this either. We're going to take it to the next level and go ahead and get married because we believe that we are going to be together for the next, you know, until Jesus come, or, you know, hey, maybe we're not equally yoked, because the Bible says to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So if you are two believers and you do believe in the same thing and you are ready to take it to the next level, then you'll say, okay, we're going to do this for a year and see, you know, get to know one another, make sure we're on one accord with everything, take some classes, and then take it to the next level. If not, then you go your way and I go mine.
All right. Now, Joyce, what are your thoughts? You know, what advice would you give to men and women who find themselves in the older individuals who find themselves dating again, and they want to live their lives as believers or live a life that is moral, and, you know, do they wait indefinitely, or do they, you know, how much time does it should it take to make a determination?
Well, I agree with Kathy, exactly what Kathy said. And also, I think, too, that a lot of times most relationships, to me, they start on a friendship basis, you know, the foundation of their friendship. So that friendship can go the distance, I think. And then secondly, that's where your church foundation, your values as to how you look, and since you're on that Christian like, where you would like to take it to that level, then I think your church should play a part and the ministry should play a part in that as well.
All right. I see that Audra has welcomed us with her presence. Audra, we're just talking about relationships and connections and those people who are believers and how they should, you know, living in the real world, how do they connect in a way, or, you know, how long should they be connected before they get married, or should they be able to hold out without worrying about that for the long run? You know, how do they deal with their emotions?
Well, I think you're going to be 3 for 3 again. I agree with both Joyce and Kathy. But the one thing that I should say, again, each individual couple, if you would, are unique. And they have different qualities and different standards that they would agree on and discuss. But the one thing I would like to make sure that is a part of the foundation is each individual make sure that they are whole themselves, meaning that they're not looking for something from that other person, meaning that they're not running from another relationship into another relationship or thinking that that person will, you know, make them whole. By being whole, what I mean by that is that you have to make sure that you value and understand and love yourself. The Lord created each of us for different purposes and different reasons. And, you know, before you get into a relationship, make sure that you've had time, especially if you coming from a relationship, take that time. And Joyce said it, you know, build a true friendship. And you have to make sure that, you know, expectations are clear. And Kathy referenced, if indeed the person is not at a place where they want to agree to those expectations and that timeline, then you're going to probably have to end up determining that it's best that you go your separate ways, because in essence, by you not adhering to a request of a person saying let's wait and let's do this and let's do that first, then in essence you're not respecting them. And if you're not respecting from the beginning, you're surely not going to respect in the long term. So the answer to your original question is no magic number. I know Steve Harvey had put out the 90-day rule waiting period, and so that you can actually see a person for who they really are. I think you really do have to have some timeline associated with putting a person in different situations, different scenarios, so that you can see their actions, because most people always can talk a good game, but take heed to their actions, because actions speak louder than words. Different persons say, man, if I was with you, I would make sure your car was washed. Well, about 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, if they haven't actually washed your car, no, they were just saying that.
Well said, RJ. Well said, RJ. Excellent.
All right. Well, we're going to come back, and I'm going to throw a few rocks in this pond, because it's obvious that it is. It ain't enough waves getting up in this pond, because it is too much agreement. But we're going to come back after this break, and I'm going to see if I can wake things up a little bit. Be back in a few minutes. James C. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, I've always vowed that I was going to be an honest host and make sure that when we had these discussions, I talked in a very honest way. You know, I've lived my life for the last 15 years or more. Sometimes I even forget how long it's been as a single man and in my own home. At no point during that 15 years have I been shacked up with anybody. I've lived alone and owned my own key and never shared it with anyone, then it is easy to be celibate when you are alone and not involved in any kind of relationship. But when you do get involved and find yourself close to someone and find your heart involved and find your emotions involved, it is a very difficult thing to say, you know, keep your hands to yourself and don't get physically involved or get caught up into your lust. And so, ladies, when you make these statements about wanting to follow the rules that of your creator, it is fine in that world outside of the real issue of two people being at the same place at the same time and having true feelings for one another. People who find themselves lonely, you know, I know I realize that 15 years, I tell a lot of people a lot of time, you know, I'm a better man married than I am unmarried, and I know I would be happier. You know, I spend a lot of time working hard and wanting to provide, and I think that's our creator instilled in men the need and desire to want to provide for someone outside of themselves. And when you meet someone who sparks your interest, that interest sometimes go beyond just wanting to shake hands, Cassie. What about your thoughts about that?
You're absolutely correct, and I believe that as well, because, again, we're looking on the outside when you're talking about you want to do more than just hold hands. But if you're at that maturity point to where you say that I cannot until I get married, then you are going to talk to whoever the other person is to make sure that you guys are on the same level and are walking down the same street so that you can start doing other stuff. You know, you can talk about the future. Okay, how are we going to have this? Let's go and volunteer. Let's go and do something else to keep ourselves busy so we won't be thinking about touching and hugging and kissing and all that other stuff. So if you get busy doing things, you know, even if you have the same interest, if you don't have the same interest, because if I'm going to be with you and if I think in my mind that, hey, this is the one and we're just waiting, you know, to talk about, yes, I'm going to be your wife, you're going to be my husband, then what we're going to do is we're going to find ourselves doing some of the same things, you know. Okay, let's go and do some volunteer. Let's go and do something else to tire ourselves out so we won't have to think about, man, he's so looking good today. No, because I'm not going to put that in my mind. You know, I'm going to think about how it's going to be later on, you know, what the Word of God says, and what God says, I must not desire the lust of the flesh, you know, but I must desire the lust of the spirit, I mean, not the lust of the spirit, but my spiritual man, which is going to overtake everything else that's trying to come into my mind.
Well, Kathy, that volunteer work better be 24 hours, because I don't see that happening.
You're not going to be with the person 24 hours, though, either, James.
Well, I just know from a personal point of view that I've been a Christian for most of my life, and I know Mom raised me as a Christian. And I just want to be honest, you know, I tell you all that my daughter was born when I was 16, and I was a Christian young man when she was born, and I've been a father to a daughter for that whole length of time. My daughter now is 40 years of age, and I don't think there's anything, and I've worked 30 years as an educator, and I've been involved in a lot of different things. But I don't think there's anything that I've ever left that has been left behind me related to the kind of difficulty it is related to that inner spirit that connects a man and a woman. Joyce, what are your thoughts?
Well, also from what Kathy said too, then, well, as far as everybody being on the same page, you can always up the date of the marriage, and that could solve a lot of things.
Well, I think you're right. If two people get together, and I'm just a realist, when you get into a relationship and you like somebody and they like you, how long does it take for you all to decide if you truly want to work at living a life together? I do realize that you need to take some time getting to know each other. You need to take some time wanting to see if the two people fit. But does that take a year, 2 years, 3 years? I mean, the longer it takes, the more difficult it's going to be for you all to stay in line with God's word, I do believe.
I was going to just say that, yes, you're right about that, and that's why a lot of times doing marriage counseling sessions, when a couple have determined that, yes, we want to get married, some of the instructions kind of imply, well, go ahead and set the date. Don't, again, linger, because now you've moved that relationship to a different level. And knowing that, yes, we're going to get married, then you have, more challenges, if you will, because, yeah, we're going to get married, but that's why the reference or the guidance is go ahead and set the date and work toward it. But going back again to what was implied earlier was that it depends on what you're feeding too. You know, if you feed the body, the physical piece of it, then, of course, that's going to be the one that has the majority of the ruling. But if you feed the spirit, then again, that's going to be, it's constantly a battle, yes. So you have to be, again, just involved in things and keep your mind occupied. Again, dream together and that type of thing. But again, keep feeding that spiritual man. And you can't be spiritual and physical at the same time. So that's my suggestion.
Well, I sit and I listen to how easy you ladies make that sound, and I believe for real that there is a difference in, sometimes I think that God made us, and they talk about God having humor, and in this instance, I think there is some humor involved in the different ways He made us. I know that my minister, we had a session that we call Real Talk, and it was when adults got together and they had real conversations about real life situations. And he shared, it was a man and woman combination ministry, and what they shared was that the real life is that most men aren't able to stay celibate for a long, extended period of time, that they can have a committed desire to remain celibate, but at the same time, normally it is an easier process for a woman than it is for a man, and then a man finds himself putting pressure on that person that he feels desire and a connection to. And so to ask a man to be celibate for a whole year is a much more difficult task when he has someone he loves in his life than to ask a woman. Now, is that an experience that you are familiar with at all, Kathy?
Well, you see, you asking a woman, so you're getting the perspective of women. We are women, so we don't understand the perspective of men, but
understand the kind of pressure that might be put on you by a man. I mean, have you had partners who it was very easy for them to deal with your desire not to be intimate?
Well, no, because before it was me on them. Ha ha ha. So see, that's different. That's different. But I do understand what you're saying. But again, it goes back to where you are in your life. If you're mature, if you're still acting like childish-like ways or where you are. But this particular time when I got married, which was 10 years ago, you know, we were at the point where, hey, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this the right way. And if you're not ready to settle down and have and get married to me, then it's no use in us continuing on in this friendship relationship, because I want, my desire is to be married. And sometimes it's mostly the men. They're not ready to step up to be married. They're not ready for a commitment to one woman. They want, you know, to have several irons on the fire. So, I mean, it goes back to, if you're ready for that next step to be married, you know, to take that oath and say, okay, I'm going to be with this person and we're going to do this thing together. We're going to build a life together. Then, you know, that's what you do.
Well, Joyce,
and if
you
get on, I would say that, again, it goes back to the person being ready for that situation, because one person may be thinking marriage and the other person may not be. So that's something to be mindful of in your planning. Because then you could have somebody really put some pressure on you if indeed, you know, you're in a relationship, yes, but you're not preparing to take that next step.
Well, then you may not want to even be involved or be in a connection or be in proximity of one another. You know, when people have to be real and honest about their feelings and their emotions and the things that they need. I know I on a personal level, I'm a very affectionate person. And so I can't spend around time with a person that I like without wanting to be affectionate. So if you're going to be around people who are affectionate, they just, I mean, that's something within them that they can't just put a cap on or put a, you know, just put a cork in it and just let it sit there until the other party decides they want to open it up. Joyce, what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree with the lady. That's interesting for you to say that, because now you got me thinking that, you know, you said that you cannot be around a person unless you want to be that person, be affectionate.
No, if you have a desire, I'm stating that if you all have been together and you all have created a, you know, if you're around somebody you have not gone there with, someone you all don't have a relationship, then sure, then, you, I mean, you don't have any desire to hold or kiss someone you don't know. But to have some type of desire or for someone, or have a love for someone, or have some an emotional attachment to someone, and then they ask you to put a cork in that emotion or put a cork in that passion, is asking a lot.
Yeah, but that's a commitment that the two of you can make, you know. If you respect her enough and you respect each other's wishes enough, I think you guys can you can maintain that.
And if you really want to be with that person, if you really see yourself with someone, then you'll try to do whatever it is necessary to make that happen. You know, if you really see yourself, like my husband, I saw myself married to him. I saw us being together until death do us part. So whatever I needed to do on my end, you know, the classes and everything, I said, okay, I'm committed to this. So it's commitment in the beginning, and it's commitment when you get together, and it's commitment all the way to the end. So we were committed to each other that we're going to do this. We're going to make this happen. We're going to go through the process, and whatever, you know, comes as we go through the process, then we'll have to deal with those issues when they come. But we are committed to this.
And I understand the commitment, and truly nothing worth having comes without some type of sacrifice. But again, realizing that normally in the course of things, that is an extreme sacrifice when it comes to men. And I'm just speaking from a man's perspective. You know, you can go to the movies and you can behave in a movie theater. You can go to church and you can behave in church. You can behave in, you know, at dinner. The issue becomes when the two of you are alone and you have spent that kind of quality time, there's a desire to go beyond just holding hands. And that's the realization of life. You know, when you, once you start that passionate kiss, that is just, that just opens the floodgate for all those other feelings that you're feeling as you are coming together and wanting and desiring to be a part of a connection. I see Regina has just came on board. And, Regina, we're talking about individuals coming together in a connection and where do they go in terms of their religious beliefs and trying to do what God says they should do versus what their bodies are telling them in terms of wanting to be intimate, but they should wait until marriage. What are your thoughts on that, Regina?
Well, when hi, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing outstanding.
When two people get together, that's one of the discussions that they need to have. And if one person is not on the same thought pattern as the other person, then someone's going to have problems. If they're really dedicated to their beliefs and dedicated to what they want to happen and what they don't want to happen, then someone has to make a decision. And that decision is going to be a very, 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 very rough, tough decision. But you got to stand for something or fall for anything.
I hear you ladies talking about that. And again, you know, I think it has a lot to do with the way women are raised and the stigmatism that's on being a woman. Because, you know, let me ask you this question. This is an important question. I already know the answer. But I have wondered if you women are going to be honest with me about it. But I'm going to ask this question. I've read a book called The Manipulated Man. And The Manipulated Man was that the United States of America, the men in the United States were the most manipulated men in the world. And what it was talking about was the book went on and said that the value of a woman being a virgin was very high, that there was a high value and price tag put on a woman, or a woman who had morals and values and who had rules. But just the opposite was true for men, that most women were not looking for a virgin man, that most women wanted their men to have some experience, to have some way. That the last thing they were looking to do, especially women of age were looking to do, was teach a man. They wanted the man to come to the table with certain abilities or knowledge. And so when we talk like that, our boys in our society are encouraged to have multiple experiences when our women are encouraged not to. So when you say to a man in his older age, I want you to wait, do you all really realize that you're asking him a whole lot? Because his body and his desires, his emotions have not been locked up like that. So first I'm going to ask you, are you aware that, or do you value or think you value a man's need or desire to control himself or his virginality as much as men value that in a woman? Regina, since you were the last on, I'm going to ask you to to answer that first?
Messina, usually you have me answering something last.
Well, you first this time.
Do I value a man's virginity? Is that what you're asking me?
Do you value the fact that, no, what I'm asking you, in your living, have you come to know or recognize that men value women with morals and who come to the table with a lack of experience, but women on the opposite are not looking for men who have no experience or lack of experience? Do you think that's true?
Well, I've heard that recently. This fellow that I used to work with, who would talk to me about things, he would tell me when he had had an experience with a lady, and I would say, oh, well, this might be the one, and he'd shake his head, no, can't take her home. She gave it up too fast. I'm like, well, she gave it up to you. Nope. Don't know who else she gave it up to. Can't take her home to mom. What in the world? Then I've heard young women say, man, he can't do so-and-so. He doesn't know how to do so-and-so. Uh-uh, don't come bother me if he doesn't know. So that's exactly what you're saying, Jane, that women want men with experience, but men want women who do not have that experience. So I know that is what happens in society.
And I'm sure that doesn't follow God's view of things, because certainly if we did it the way God said do it, then, of course, all of us would come to the table with no experience, and therefore we'd be happy with whatever we have. But, Joyce, what are your thoughts in terms of the fact that men value women who have very little experience, who have moral values and who have restrictions, but men are just not groomed in that same fashion? So we find ourselves always wanting to take women to the next level despite their need or desire to stay in control.
Well, I think if you really don't have that feeling that you had indicated earlier about that you really, really desire that person because you really feel something special about that person, then I think that you're in a using position as a man. You're using a woman to just fulfill your needs. And I'm not in agreement with that. And I think that is cold-blooded.
Well, we do understand that a man could very much be in love with a woman and want to marry a woman, but just is unable to control that feeling. I wouldn't want any woman to think because a man was aggressive that he admit that he didn't love her. You can be emotionally attached and in love with someone that you can't control your desires for that person. That doesn't mean you don't love them because you feel compelled to be close to them.
Well, that means that you need to take some cold showers before you go over there and take a couple of them when you come home.
I don't know when y'all got that thought that water works. I'm afraid water has nothing to do with the. I mean, it can quickly be heated up, or your blood can quickly be heated up by the right individual. So I don't care how cold that water is, but once you touch you, that's like a hot stove. Audrey, what are your thoughts related to that question I was asking?
Well, I think in reality, and we're talking real, that there are double standards. And that's partially because of the way we've been raised. We've been raised in most cases such that the man would have experience, because a woman do want that man to be a shelter or a protector over her. And so being so, then, of course, a lot of times that includes experiences and and exposures and knowledge. Now, we don't want that person to be just a pure dog. Now, you have to have a balance of it. But when you said that you didn't believe that scripture says that we should have differences, but in reality, it does support that, because the man is the covering over the woman. So if you're going to cover, again, you'll have a little more insight. However, also the fact when we're talking about love and respect and actions speaking louder than words, you respect and love that woman enough to, again, let's look at what love is. Love is giving a person your best, and sometimes your best means denying yourself. And that's part of your, as women, that's how we see a person demonstrating their love for us, is that, you know, they deny themselves in order to respect us and please us. But to your point, we do expect the man to be experienced. And one thing with society now, it's not just the physical component that you have to concern yourself with. A lot of times when you're looking for a person that's experienced with technology, you know, you hear so many people involved in pornography, and they use social media sometimes to have extra relationships and affairs. Well, I would want a person that's experienced in that, because myself personally, I'm not very technical when it comes to computers and all. So I wouldn't want a person that's so involved in that's another component that I would have to concern myself about. So it's a balance, if you would, between all that's involved.
Okay. Cassie, had you heard that before, that, you know, understood or aware that there happens to be this value in for women being conservative and having, you know, limited partners, where men are expected to be experienced?
Okay, can you repeat that, please?
Okay. let me try to put it another way. Men value women who are virgins, but women don't have a value for men who are the same.
No, I haven't heard that before. Because,
never heard that before?
No. No.
Okay.
And because
I thought
haven't.
It was commonplace.
No.
Well, let me just say, go ahead, Cassie.
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just under the impression a lot of times that we don't have an understanding of, I think we do have an understanding of knowing that men and women, like Audrey say, have been raised differently and have been encouraged differently. I know that for me, where growing up in a household of just one child, my father and my mother, that there were certain things that my discussions my father would have with me that were such that he wanted to make sure, or he felt proud that I was dating. Where my mom, on the other hand, felt like she was glad I was dating, but she might not want me to be involved with these different girls while I was growing up. And you find yourself in this situation, especially when you are an athlete, that you're getting a lot of attention. It is difficult to monitor how you take it. You know, Joyce talked about taking advantage. It wasn't so much that as a young man I was trying to take advantage, as it was just a world that I wasn't accustomed to, and so I got involved at a very, very early age. And again, I think that is normal for men to get involved in an intimate fashion at a much earlier age than the women counterpart, and so that they have these feelings and the experiences that they don't want the women to have the same type of experience. So that's why I was saying, when we get older and women are asking men to wait until marriage, we find ourselves in a more difficult situation and not necessarily being able to sustain uninvolvement as long as women do. Regina?
Yes.
Do you understand the difficulty that men have in restraining their intimate desires and feelings?
I understand that that excuse is there, that there is a difficulty, because now, oddly enough, while you may have given the scenario that you've given, there is actually a movement going on now where men and women are either abstaining after they have become sexually active, or they're actually holding on to their virginity. And a lot of people, a lot of young people now and older people are not engaging in sexual activity until after they have been, after they've gotten married. So that has come about with the knowledge of sexual of diseases, of AIDS, and a lot of the babies being born, and that statistic has actually lowered in recent times, where we don't have as many young people having children out of wedlock. Maybe they're using more birth control, or maybe they are thinking about what they're doing. But the excuse of "I'm a man" doesn't hold, isn't a legitimate excuse, really, when you have so many others out there saying that because I am a man and I've got to show my future wife that I can control myself. Because if I can't control myself with her, then I'm not may not be able to control myself if we have gotten married.
You don't find that to be two different things, to be married and staying committed to your wife who is providing her love to you versus being involved with someone and you all being together and not and trying to be celibate? I mean, if you're married, there's no need to be celibate. You don't need anybody else for her.
I'm not talking about the actual act of sex. I'm talking about the mental ability to restrain yourself. There are two different things. You have the mental ability to restrain yourself, and whether or not you're married or not, you still, as a male, should not want to go out there. And because when a man puts himself into a woman, there's more than just the body fluid that's exchanging there. You have the mental things that are going on, the woman feeling some sort of way, the man feeling some sort of way, whether it's guilt, and he's going to feel that guilt longer than he feels that 2, 3, 10 seconds of pleasure. So people are really thinking about that now. I want a man who is able to restrain himself, not able to prove to me that he's going to be my covering because he has all of these. That doesn't prove anything to me other than you cannot restrain yourself.
Okay, Audrey, what are your thoughts? We're 5 minutes in, so I'm going to give everybody a 1 minute thought based on what we've discussed today, Audrey. So you go. This is your minute.
Well, I think that a person, a male, can have the ability to restrain themselves and still provide a covering and experience. I think it's a balance, and I think it's two separate situations that we're talking about. I think it depends on where couples are along their journey, and also where they're trying to, what they're trying to achieve. Because, in essence, we keep talking about the male being dominant, if you would. Who's to say that that woman is just trying to determine, you know, what that guy is and move on to the next one? Who knows? But in either case, again, I think you have to just have the balance, talk it through, see what it is that you're both trying to accomplish. But you can't do that until the person is whole. Each person has to be individuals for themselves, knowing who they are. They can't be coming from one relationship going to the next because you haven't had a chance to really find out what it is that you are expecting and what it is that you need to discuss and agree upon.
Okay. Joyce, your final thought?
I agree with both ladies, and exactly what they said, because in the end is that you got to have the will, that person, the will and commitment. It's no such thing that you can't and that you're unable to do that. You got to have the mental ability to restrain yourself. Like I say, and if part of that is taking a bunch of cold showers, then so be it. That's where it needs to go.
All right. Kathy, you're going to put a lid on this before we take our final break. What are your thoughts, and what would you suggest to couples out there who are trying to live their lives in a Christian-like manner?
To get counseling and get around people that believe in the cause of holding out until you get married.
All right.
That's it.
Okay. The hour seems to go by too fast when we're talking about we have everybody together and trying to find a consensus. And seems like all my ladies have lined up and are on the same page. I'm not quite on that page because I believe that it's a little more difficult for me to to make that kind of commitment. I believe men are more, they're able and prepared to make a commitment to a woman. Now, I really believe men can make a commitment to a woman, but going to that next level and saying they're going to be celibate until marriage, I think is a little more difficult. And I just want to say that and go on record, I think we can love and care just as much as women do. In terms of a committed relationship, I think we just have a bigger problem with keeping that cork in the bottle. And that's all I'm going to say. And I will. I look forward to talking to you all tomorrow at 6 p.m. And understand that men are just committed to relationships, just committed to romance, and we want to love our partner to the same degree or more than our partner loves us. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m.